listening to The Horn, the head-on radio.
This is the Quality News Network. President taking an aerial tour of the fire devastation in Rancho Bernardo, a hard-hit area. Since the blazes broke out, have destroyed 1,500 homes. Thousands of homes. The president promised more federal assistance and expressed sympathy to the victims. Reports that one suspected arsonist has been arrested in connection with Ando Valley. A $70,000 reward is in place for impunity. It was one of the larger fires, and officials are as arson. A break in the weather is helping firefighters battling in several counties. So far, 9 deaths are fires. Officials warn that the death toll could go up even higher as they return. In other news in Washington, the top Democrat on the House Waiti has proposed a $1 trillion tax plan. It would repeal the while top earners would pay a 4% tax over certain income, $200,000 for couples. The House of Representatives plans to vote bill today after President Bush's veto of the first one, and the House 13 votes short of overriding his veto last week. However, President Bush is also legislation as he objects to an expansion of the program. Add $35 billion over 5 years and thus cover 10 million children by a federal cigarette tax. The Bush administration has imposed tough pursuit of nuclear weapons. These are the hard decades. They cut off key Iranian military and banking institutions. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice testified before they. The chairman accused Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki administration officials in corruption investigations. He was unaware of the specific order. Iraq's foreign minister is urged to control the Kurdish separatist rebels along trees. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business Net.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish is true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected, known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are... And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can treat it in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations. You're over 40, because unless you have what's called monovision, still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nant has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality. Please contact your local library.
A new study by the American Psychological Association finds that 48% of now than they were 5 years ago. The main worries for respondents are money and work. The Justice Department announced that $373 million to settle an investigation that manipulated energy markets and broke environmental laws. BP will also blast that killed 15 people and injured 107. The Commerce Department reports that in September, sales of new homes went up by 4%. Also reports that in September, durable goods orders were down in a row. Total orders fell 1.7% as demand for defense economy grew at an 11.5% rate in the third Chinese government statistics. The data shows China is on its way to becoming the taking Germany's position. Gold is trading at $7 an ounce. Light sweet crude is at a record high of 9 New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street, down 3 points, the NASDAQ down 24, and the S&P 500 down. Website qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm at.
You're listening to The Horn, the Hedo Network.
This is the California. A break in the weather is helping firefighters battle the fires still burning in several counties. President Bush arrived in the region for an aerial tour of the devastation. He walked through a neighborhood in Rancho, a hard-hit area. Since the blazes broke out late Saturday, at least 1,500 homes. Thousands of homes are still threatened. The president promised more federal assistance and expressed sympathy to the victims. Authorities in a gutted house north of San Diego, 7 other deaths are connected to fires. Officials warn that the death toll could go up even higher as they return to the... There are now about 2,500 people still seeking shelter at San Diego Qualcomm Stadium. That's down from the 10,000 people at the height of the evacuation. A $70,000 reward is in place for information on the Santiago fire in Orange County. It is one of the larger fires, and officials are now investigating it as arson. In other news in Washington, the House of Representatives plans to vote on a revised children veto of the first one, and the House fell 13 votes short of last week. However, President Bush is also expected to veto this legislation of the program. The top Democrat on the House Waiti proposed a $1 trillion tax plan. It would repeal the alternative minimum, a 4% tax over certain incomes, starting at $200 for couples. The Bush administration has imposed tough new sanctions in pursuit of a nuclear weapons program and support for terrorism. Harshest sanctions in nearly three decades since the Iranian hostage crisis. They cut off banking institutions from the U.S. financial system. Secretary Condoleezza Rice testified before the House Oversight Committee today. The chairman accused Iraqi of granting immunity to his senior administration officials in Korea. Rice said she was unaware of the specific order. She is urging Turkey to accept a non-military offer to control the Kurdish in the two countries. You're listening to the Quality News Next.
I know your secret. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her... When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. You're still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her, you're too. I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're running scared. Become a hero in your own family. Local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's, just watch how big her smile is.
This message on brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact.
A new study by the American Psychological Association finds 8% of Americans report they are more stressed now than they were 5 years ago. Quarters of respondents are money and work. The Justice Department announced that oil giant BP will pay $373 million into whether it manipulated energy markets and broke environmental laws. A city refinery blast that killed 15 people and... The Commerce Department reports that in September, sales of new homes went up. The Commerce Department also reports that in September, durable goods for the second month in a row. Total orders fell 1.7% as demand. The Chinese economy grew at an 11.5% quarter, according to Chinese government statistics. The data shows China is on its largest economy, overtaking Germany's position. $771 an ounce. Light sweet crude is at a record 46 cents a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 3 points, the NASDAQ down 24, and the S&P. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-446. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes after the hour, it's the most special evening of the week here on You Know What That Means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon, before to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon, then be every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right. Place your hands upon your computer speaker until you feel the power rolling through you. It's mission. I am Brother Bob. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense and you the altar. Now, rather than me blabbing up, setting up the rest of the program right now, I would far rather do something that last week. On the phone with us is Crystal Zevon, the ex-wife of Warren Zevon and mother of I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, The Dirty Life and Times of Zevon, available as of yesterday from Echo Books, an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. Ms. Zevon, are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, Crystal?
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking time to join us. I know you're very, very busy with the book just coming out. Let me just start out by thanking you for your effort in doing this. For those of us who were fans of your husband's work, I just finished the book yesterday, and the acknowledgments that you put that you list at the end. How hard was it to bring so many people together to put this biography together?
Well, it was actually probably easier than I thought it might be. I could have gone on endlessly interviewing people. Everyone I knew, almost everyone I tried to reach was more than willing to talk, and you know, we've got to talk to so-and-so. So at some point, finally, I just had to say, okay, I've got to stop here. And, you know, then a few more would come in, but I had to make a judicious choice about, I wanted the celebrities, but I also wanted the roadies and the girlfriends and the family to kind of give the whole picture.
And what amazed me is that so many people were so forthcoming about aspects of Warren's life that affected not so much candor. Is that a previous request on Warren's part? Is that how was it a permission matter?
I think that probably had something to do. He asked me to do this, and he wanted the whole truth told. Responded to that. You know, Warren and I had a relationship. We hadn't been married for 20-some years, but people knew us together. We always... So I think that also lent some credibility to it. And I also think, you know, when you lose someone, you need to talk. So I think there was there was sort of a camaraderie and a with all of it.
Well, from Carl Hyacin, Stephen King, Jackson Brown, this book, the story of Warren's life that it is, it's also sort of a who's who of the culture, and it shows how pervasive in certain circles work became, because it's literary as well as musical, and there you can see the odd, and as Warren lived it and the other people in the book. How much of this also, as far as your own judgment is concerned, does turn out to be a time capsule?
Oh boy, I don't know. That's a that's a new question.
Well, I'm sorry. I can. I've got. I ask these long, 9 million word questions. I'm thinking back to another rock and roll bio I read many, and that's the Jim Morrison bio.
Uh-huh.
No one here gets out alive, and that's what I kept. It was sort of like the benchmark that I kept coming back to with this, Crystal. I think the rock style, in many ways, can be more prosaic than we expect, can't it?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Tell us on that prosaic side of thing, you know, the people who listen to this program, a lot of them are very well familiar with Warren's work,
uh-huh.
And you know the music, but the side of his life that no one saw. Was it really obsessive compulsive disorder? I mean, quite a bit. Was it ever actually diagnosed?
You know, I don't think it was ever licensed diagnostician, but I think you know, I look back to and you know, there was no such diagnosis. So Warren would have these odd habits. I mean, very early on in our relationship, and I think it's in the book where he had avoided the draft, and there was some part of him that felt, you know, that guys went over to Vietnam and died, and you know, he got to say he was gay, and he didn't have to go. And there was a part of him that always, he was named after an uncle on his mother's side, Warren, who died in Korea. So it was, you know, heroic uncle. And so he couldn't drive past a billboard or a picture of Uncle Sam or any recruiting, any military thing, actually. He had a thing where he'd have to turn around and drive around the block and drive back the other way and, you know, some formula that, hey. And, you know, I mean, I just thought he was, you know, who knows what.
Yeah.
But in fact, particularly when he stopped drinking, these ritual things, and you know, I think it probably was real. I know that people question it, you know, I don't know if it was real or just a way that he tried to identify himself, but I don't think Warren...
It was really fundamental to the organic operation of his brain, you know, it seems like Johnny Cash is often referred to as the man in this man in gray.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give away the book, but how many greats did Warren own?
Well, probably hundreds.
Yeah. It just amazed me as I went through it.
I told the publisher they should really get together with Calvin Klein and, you know, do a whole promotional thing.
Yeah, because it wasn't just any gray T-shirt. It was Calvin Klein gray T-shirt.
Yes.
That's just, I don't know. It's, you know, we say eccentric, we say quirky, and a tortured genius. It's also so incredibly human. If I could shift gears with you for just a moment, Crystal, you know, you mentioned, and that's, of course, seems almost axiomatic within rock and roll music, country music. What's described in the book is such a profound level of abuse. How did he manage sober for 17 years?
With great difficulty. And that's really true. I mean, once he stopped drinking, he went on the road, but, you know, he would go out, he went back to his hotel room, his apartment. He lived in a one-bedroom apartment on the flat. He was a creature of habit. He went to the same restaurant. He used the same dry cleaner, the same mechanics. And locales would become his friends. That's who he talked to, or how he, so he had these patterns and habits, and he was in those, and that's kind of how, I mean, that's the needing a kind of control.
Now, with all the alcohol abuse and some limited drug abuse mentioned in there, this doesn't come across though as a cautionary tale. Did war element of wanting to reach out or warn people away do like I did?
You know, I mean, he probably did to a certain degree. I mean, certainly he was there for me when I was in trouble, if someone reached out to him. But he also, Warren didn't proselytize. He wouldn't talk about politics. There's a passage in there where he had a girlfriend who was a professor and at election time and vote. Now, he voted when we were together because mm-hmm. So I kind of pushed that stuff. But, you know, later as he got to vote. Again, it was a part of that torment or whatever it was that believed. You know, he was the most literate guy I know. My daughter inherited all of his books, and it's floor to ceiling books now in her house, as it was in his place.
And it's everything to pulp murder mysteries to musical theory.
I mean, I'm sitting here. I can look at the shelf right now. Shostakovich, Alert. Addiction to Perfection, Rilke, you just go on and on. But in all these books, and it didn't strike me until fairly recently, political books, Kierkegaard, postmodern, Mick Jagger's biography, there's all of this, nothing political.
You know, I think that's one of the reasons I've enjoyed them so much, Crystal, is because part and parcel of what I do here, I'm reading books at a time, and they're usually, George Bush is a pimple on the world's butt, and how to lance it,
right.
and to take a step back from that, and read this incredibly honest, took my mind in a completely different direction. But you mentioned Vietnam a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was desire not to go in the draft, was that a function of opposition to what was going on there? Just I don't want to go.
I think it was both. He absolutely opposed the war, but again, he didn't go out and protest. He was also just scared to.
But it seems like for such an apolitical guy, he down in Tennessee.
Absolutely.
And the likes of Hunter Thompson, who my God, the man's veins were full of politics.
Yeah.
And then, you sit down and you listen to, like I'm telling you, but to listen to something like Disorder in the House, there's that song.
Yes. But he co-wrote that with Jorge. That's what I mean. I mean, Warren did it, would just shut it off. So it was in there. It was in there in his way. But he considered himself an entertainer. He loved Sammy Davis Jr.,
Oh, my God. Yeah. When I read it, and I felt ashamed of myself for it.
Oh, I know.
But there's a journal entry from September 21, 1998, where he refers to the awful spectacle of Clinton's testimony. It's farce, but it's not Rwanda either. Obviously, he was paying attention to...
And Steve Cohen, I don't remember if they cut this. They cut a lot of Steve's stuff out, unfortunately. But... Steve talked, he learned things about what was going on in the world or in other administrations elsewhere, from knew about stuff. He just felt like it wasn't his job or his place to voice an opinion.
What about the creative process, Crystal? Because that's got to be a study of Warren Zevon is a study of the creative process. How did his topicality, the way he used the English, is so varied and so broad. Is there any way of understanding how he harnessed that?
You know, I think he had. The songs he's most well known for were written in, they just, you know, rolled off him, Lawyers, Guns, and Money, and his cocktail napkin, or in a room with the guys, you know, whatever it was. But songs like Frank and Jesse James songs with, he loved history and topic, and then find some kind of skewed way to report on that time, and then there were others that phrase or word. He loved the syllables of words. He loved L's. He loved the word gorilla. stuff like Llewellyn, which I didn't. But for example, this Snoop come out a CD that's just come out. I guess you don't think that song anymore. There's an early version of what later became Only Like a Martyr and Empty Handed Heart. Should have done. That's my song. And he, you know, muttering that phrase, and then things would happen in life. He would experience something, and you know, another line would come. And you know, many times over the years, and the songs, Desperados under those songs, are very typical, have to do with life experience, but they also have this connection with language, you know, married with the music, you know, and it would, mm-hmm. they'd be years coming.
It's amazing to contemplate how he even held on to that notebook. I mean, some writers keep a morgue, grabs your brain and you write it down, and years later, how that process worked, or was it all just swirling in his mind?
I think it was both, but yes, he wrote things down. He had music manuscript paper wherever he went. So, you know, whether it was the, you know, did come first, that's an impossible thing to say with Warren.
Well, let me ask you, turning to this bio, and I mean no disrespect whatsoever, this bio, but also be a biography, an autobiography of you, and to a certain extent, a biography of your lovely daughter Ariel, and of Warren's son George. How going back and looking and exposing that, how has that impacted you and Jordan and Ariel?
You know, it's I spent these years with the interviews and reading all of his journals, and it's been hard. I don't think either Ariel or Jordan have read the whole book of it.
Because, frankly, with both, there were the portions of the book that I got through. My wife and I have four children, and if you try, I think a good book demands that we do. Mm-hmm. It was mentally, spiritually painful.
Yes.
Especially Ariel's portions. Does this book for you serve, or for her, is there a cathartic quality or a therapeutic quality or it?
Well, for me, there certainly is. I think, she heard for a lot of her life. And, nor I think the two, as siblings, they death. He didn't do much to bring them together, but I think the thing that happened was we all got to know each other, and Jordan knew two different guys. Ariel and, you know, read the same. She was involved in theater and so on, and so they related on that level, and, you know, they listened to classical music. She played the flute, knew rock and roll, and you know, the pop culture issues. I remember her coming back from Florida, went to to make the arrangements for the cremation, just saying, you know, it's like we knew two different dads. You know, and they came together at times, but so here with his new wife twice, we all was wedding. Jody and Jordan came to Port. So it's, you know, and this has all happened. Even the Zevon family, Warren never brought everybody together. We've gone down to the Cape to several times. So it's an interesting thing. A lot of people together.
And it's almost contrary to what one might expect. Let me ask, if I may, a little bit, be very socially and politically active. And Ariel has started this project in Vermont because we, in this program, we pay a lot of attention to that kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about LACE.
Oh, sure. But Ariel was in L.A. Acting, and with children, she vowed to get out of L.A. She wasn't going to bring her children up there. And interested in agriculture and farming, and, you know, even if she had had success in acting, that she would end up on a farm. So she came to Vermont to find a farm. But they found a great house in Vermont, this town that's kind of been Walmartized, if you will. The downtown has a lot of empty storefronts and pawn shops and, you know, a strip club, just the main street. She fell in love with it. We live in this little neighborhood with, you know, kids playing in the street, and it's, you know, for someone from L.A., it's paradise. And she started getting into women being in agriculture, in businesses, and then she saw a for rent. She said, what if we did something? Because she started trying to feed her kids, and nobody seemed to know where to get them. In this town, they're conveniently located.
And that runs against the paradigm of what the rest of us expect.
Vermont has more farmers per capita than any United States, and yet you can't find farmers markets once a week, and they're, you know, I mean, there are some that you can't really have to go out of your way. And most people don't, so they drive the five market on the hill and buy food that was carted 1,500 miles to get to the... So she just started to do something about it. So she stands for Local Agricultural Community Exchange, with the farmers market, and with a cafe that serves only grown foods and seasonal, you know, they're all available. And classes, educational stuff, so that you can get and teach them about preserving and drum, you know, how you can
canning and
exactly coming from, you know, it, and the idea, it's a, we're in a poor community here, but to get some of these people whose kids grow up in fast foods find a new way.
That is beautiful, Crystal. By design, it has to be sustainable,
right?
Something that you all hope will see. You hope to see, is it just localized and, you know,
well,
the best?
Well, it grows out of the area or not remains to be seen, but we hope it'll be a model. And On is coming in to do two concerts. He's Ariel's godfather. You know, he's done so much for so many, but we're really lucky, this little town, 50-seat opera house. And, you know, the town never saw before. So he's doing, and the first concert sold out in 10 minutes. He agreed to do another one. And be helping us because we're renovating an old department store, one of those family department, 25 years, and just went out of business. You know, we're using the drawers, we're taking them apart and using the wood to, you know, everything's recycled. We had, and people from, like, you've got a homeless guy standing next to the, excuse me, but right-wing mayor.
Yeah, we can't do anything about it.
But they were, everybody, you know, the church standing next to the, you know, punk rockers, and, you know.
Well, that's community building, though, isn't it? If there's some level of common ground where people can come together, then maybe ditch up some of the rifts that are splitting this country asunder.
It was so exciting, I can't tell you.
And what about your work in these days?
Well,
or whatnot, I don't know which is
with,
the shorter list.
No, I'm working with LACE. I've been an activist for many years, but I've kind of returned from it as a profession. You know, I've worked a lot with started fairness and accuracy in reporting.
And it's so ironic, seeds this one, our good friend Mark Levine hosted, and he just, Steve Rendell from Fair,
right.
On for the hour. I thought I remembered seeing Fair on your on the list of things you had done. Does the future of Warren's music play things that you're doing here?
Well, you know, I mean, my hope to get a wider listenership, you know, I think never had the the respect and I would hope, and I think young people today might get in a way that, you know, was more limited back in the.
And in fact, the release of the book, all you mentioned the one disc that's been released. There's also been a re-release of three other of.
Yeah, Stand in the Fire, I think, is one of the finest live albums, though. It is now out on CD. And so now there's a political album.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, the 25th anniversary of Excitable Boy, so they Boy remastered.
Now, with a lot of artists, probably as good or better than anyone to tell this, with a lot of artists, you'll find out after they pass on 2 years later that there were 900 hours of studio stuff that was never released. Is that something, is there unreleased material? As a reference in the book to Warren profoundly objecting to so-called bonus tracks.
Yeah.
Is there still stuff out that come on the market at some point?
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear it. I've spent the last few days just sort of dredging all of my Warren music and going over and just reappreciating it. I knew out there that, I can't tell you, it would be wonderful.
Well, you know, I mean, Jordan came across that 125 or 27 tapes of stuff, because Warren would tape over and over, you know, different versions and keep it all. He kept it all. So it's all out there. People will run across at least the transcripts, the musical transcripts of his stuff. I know he recorded a lot of that, Sarah, and I don't know whether that's among the stuff that Jordan found or not, but that was his beginnings were classical.
12 years old and going to visit Shostakovich?
Stravinsky,
I'm sorry. That's one of the things. You read this stuff and you go, you can't help but just be amazed by the self.
Yeah.
So that would be beautiful, beautiful to run across. And, you know, the passage at the end of his life where they're recording and somebody says, we need more bar room. And he said, well, I won't give you that. I don't do bar. And then played the track in classical fashion.
Yeah.
It would be wonderful to hear that stuff.
Yeah.
Crystal, I thank you so very much, too much of your time. I was just, it's such an exciting, wonderful book. Wonderful. Yeah, it is. It's a tremendous book. I applaud you for your effort in putting it together and everyone who participated with you, Big Dark Roads. What did Jorge say? Warren was unpaved?
Yes, exactly.
and you sort of had to go with him for a while just to put this all back together. Thanking to the, adding to the lexicon and adding to what kind of, are you, one last question, what kind are you getting so far? Have you seen any advance notice or the critics being good to you?
So it's looking really good.
Wonderful.
I'm just overwhelmed. And I thank you, by the way, for all that you do.
Appreciate it
I'm honored to be on your show.
It's a thrill, and if they or anything else comes out, I hope you'll come and come back and share it with us.
Absolutely.
And best of luck with the concerts. Boy, I tell you what, it'd be wonderful to be in Vermont in a couple of weeks. That's going to be well. And please pass our heartfelt hopes for the LACE effort along. There's not just a power grid out there that we need to get off of. There's an industrial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Continue what you're doing, Crystal.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, again, I'll say what I... The book makes it onto this program. The book makes it onto this program because I think there's value in the book and something to be learned and something to be had by owning the book. I mean, yesterday was the release date on Echo Books, CO Books, an imprint of HarperCollins Publishers. Out to the book up at the website. If I know our news ninjas, I know our news ninjas. Crystal Zevon, I'll sleep when I'm Life and Times of Warren Zevon. It's funny, it's heartening, and it's just so damn real. It's everybody associated, and of course I'm. As it stands, what is it, a 50-page book? This could be a 900-page book, and I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that got enough for another tome at some point. But get yourself with this. Get yourself reacquainted with Warren Zevon's music, because claimed to be, this is our kind of music. Start to finish, whether it's pop or whether it's getting poppy in 15 minutes or so, or whether it's the more interesting stuff. This We'll take a break. Hey, let's Agnes, let's listen to a Warren song. Something queued up there? Cool. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Rolling warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with it fighting to be done. Denmark on a dark and stormy, though it's set out for Biafra to join the 66, and they fought the Congo War with their fingers on bleeding gore. As they battled the Bantu to their knees, they're living and to help out the Congolese. Roland the Thompson Gunner, Roland the Thompson Gunner, beside him, Van Owen and the rest. But of all the Thompson gunners, Roland. So the CIA decided they want that son of a bitch, Van Owen, Roland's head. Flash of Roland's Thompson gun. In the muzzle flash of Roland's Thompson gun. Oh, it's the continent for the man who done him in. Mombasa in a ballroom drinking gin. Roland aimed his Thompson gun. He didn't say, but he blew out Owen's body from there to up. Roland the head gunner, Roland the headless Thompson gunner, talking about the headless Thompson gunner. The eternal Thompson wandering through the night. Now it's tender, but it still keeps up the fight. In Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley, Teddy Hearst heard the birth of a gun and bought it.
The United Brotherhood of They accept any challenge and approach every project with STEAM training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. Ships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and projects because they believe in what they're doing and are set to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates disputes because they believe that. As professionals, discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back. Rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a returns weekdays, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up Head On Radio Network.
Web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WYAB40.com. You're there. They're working hard every day to give you updates, a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boy. Place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD4.shop for all things progressive.
So much to Indy on the farm. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Every night I like to raise a little harm. Yeah. Hey.
It's currents in music. That line, I'll sleep when... Then you know, you want to Warren Zevon's work as you could possibly get and still use it. There's a line from a Jimmy Buffett tune called going older but not up, where he sings, "Die while I'm living, then live while I'm dead." Same thing. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who love Headless Thompson Gunner, if you want to find out the song came to be, it's in the book. Yeah, the people who loved Warren Zevon's music are a devoted bunch. And it's laid out for everyone to see as far as how his music came into being. It's wow. You know, this thing arrived today, and like I said, I finished it last night. And I've got going right now down to do this one. Because you can't, you know, especially if, you know, a bunch we horn people, whether it's me or share their time and their ideas with us. We read the news, and we read the commentary, and we read this site and that website. Sometimes you step back, and it's cleansing else. Because for all the hard work that goes into, we know that George Bush is a pimple on the world's ass. Thoroughly and absolutely, probably as much or more than any else on planet Earth. But to step back and read something like this is absolutely mind-boggling. And it is political, too, because if art isn't if art isn't political, and if art isn't cultural, and if art isn't, or at least that's the way I look at it. After all, one other thing to bring up, and we'll probably take it. Lace venture there in Vermont, and trying to get farm fresh, reminded me of a story that I've had sitting around. This from the Progressive, an article by Elizabeth Di Novella, simply titled "Frankenfoods on the Dinner Table." And when you get into the mindset of, that sounds like a Warren Zevon song too. Frankable. It's even got a nice little scansion to it. Ms. Di Novella asks, "Ready to eat cloned beef?" The Food and Drug Administration, and bear in mind, this is not an old story. This is a administration is on the verge of approving food from clones to be sold in grocery stores. I don't know, is John Fox in the chat room? Chat room, John is in mid-hissy right now. Nope, no John. On the verge of approving sold in grocery stores, these products would not have to carry a defying label. You know, as somebody who has been told recently, medical profession, to get serious about paying attention that goes into his body, that would be me. I'm a lead labels. Like I said, yeah, I was having the evening cocktail not too long. Went to pour my tonic water. It's spring, yeah. Being spring, you want to make sure that the mosquitoes can't get advanced medication. It's got quinine in it, advanced medication against it. But, you know, there it was. Fructose corn sweetener in tonic water. It's tonic water! On the label. Label after label. High fructose corn sweetener, corn syrup solids, the partially yada, fully hydrogenated palm and soybean kernels. Now, meanwhile, and the folks over at Rich.com have been most assiduous in trying to point out effort going on right now. Walmart is busting to oppose something called COOL, origin labeling. Walmart does, and it pertains to meat. Want you to know where it gets its meat. On the ironics, Chinese poison in the hog food story that came up last week, it might be the United States that they don't, but not likely. But it's years ago I was in Wally World and picked up a package of hamburger with beef flavor added. It was then that I found out water to beef to increase the weight constitutes beef, as long as you dissolve 1 cube of bouillon in 800 gallons of water. The meat came from. And they're busting their humps to get, and that's part and parcel of this the Franken beef. You know, does that make your eyes just, you know, kind of get a little sort of a loosey goosey feeling to them, and like they're